Thank you very much. We're going to spend a few minutes looking at that passage and thinking about that, but I promise it'll be a slightly shorter sermon than normal, because I know you've had a lot of information and input already in this service. But before we get into that, I want to introduce you to someone else, and that person is Elizabeth Cheville. So Elizabeth, would you like to just stand up where you are and turn around and people can see you? But Elizabeth is going to be coming to work at St. John's, as our curate, and she'll be joining the staff team here at St. John's, hopefully in a few weeks' time, and all the details are going to be fixed up this week, and we're going to meet representative of the bishop tomorrow, which is why Elizabeth came down today to join us for our worship and to meet some of you folk here at church today. So do speak to Elizabeth. She's living in Oxford at the moment, and do have a chance to speak to her and pray for her as well over the coming weeks as she prepares to join us here at St. John's. Well, we're going to look at a story of Nicodemus in just a moment, and if you want to keep that open, it's John's Gospel chapter 3, and it was page 1065. But it's been really good to hear about the work of the London City Mission and to be reminded of the context in which we live. As we hear passages from the Bible read to us week by week, it's so important to try and make that connection between what was written all those years ago and what's going on in the world today, and particularly here in London. And I want you to hold those people in your mind and in your hearts as we go through this sermon and the rest of this service. I also want you to consider two debates which I feel are really interesting and have been raging in the media over the past week. One of those debates is the one which is confronting us here in London with the increasing number of teenage deaths and young deaths on our streets. There's lots of discussion, isn't there, in the press about what is going on in our society. How can we respond in our families, in our communities, and how can we take responsibility for youth and make a response in a real way and in a relevant way to this issue? It's an important one for us to address. The second debate surfaced this week by the article that was written by the Bishop of Rochester, Bishop Michael Nazir Ali. And some of you, I'm sure, have been aware of that discussion as it's been reported in the press during the week. Just read to you a couple of quotes of what Bishop Nazir Ali said. He said, "It is necessary to understand where we come from, to guide us to where we are going, and to bring us back to the path when we wander too much from the path of national destiny." And he also said, "In the context of our dialogue with people of other faiths, it is our duty to witness to our faith as Christians and to call people to faith in Jesus Christ, whilst recognising that people of other faiths may have similar responsibilities too." And as we know, it sparked a lot of controversy, those kind of statements. One reminding us as a nation of our Christian roots and Christian heritage. And I'm sure if we were to unpack that concept within this church today, there'd be lots of views about the place of Christianity in our society. But it's an important one for us to consider and to look at how do we apply Christian values and principles today. The second one is this strand of discussion about how as Christians can we share our faith and be faithful to the responsibility that we have to follow Christ and to make Christ known in a world where people believe many different faiths and many different things about the meaning of life. These debates and discussions are crucial for us to engage with and think about our response. And I have to admit to having a lot of sympathy with some of the things that Bishop Nazir Ali has been commenting on this week. Over the next few weeks here at St. John's, we're going to be having a Bible series on Old Testament arguments and discussions with God. And I encourage you to come along and bring in your mind and in your thoughts those arguments and discussions that are personal ones to us, maybe through challenges and disappointments we face in our lives, but also those arguments and debates which I feel really raging in, at least in the media and in many people's minds in our society today. The person in John's Gospel, chapter 3, that's mentioned is this man called Nicodemus. Now, he was a person who had his own questions, and he came to find Jesus. He went to meet Jesus at night. It was dark. There weren't many people on the streets, and he wanted a private place to ask his questions. Many of us don't like to perhaps bring our personal deep-seated questions out into the open. And I think Nicodemus was a bit like that. But he wanted an opportunity to question God and to question Jesus. And he came to Jesus with his questions. He was struggling with his national and cultural identity. And as he discussed things with Jesus, Jesus led him on a spiritual journey and opened up spiritual questions which he wanted Nicodemus to consider. And I think it would be great for us to learn from Jesus' example and perhaps try and do that with the people asking questions that we know, people in our workplaces, in our community, that may be asking some of these questions about our society and our faith. Let's engage with people and help them on their spiritual journey. Nicodemus, at this point in the story, is on the outside. He feels an outsider. And that's, I guess, partly why he came to Jesus at night. And he's looking on the inside of what Jesus is doing with his disciples. And he's challenged because it doesn't quite fit with what he's expecting the Messiah, the Saviour of the world, to be doing, or the person he thought the Saviour would be. But Jesus is on the inside, reaching out. And as he reaches out, he faces all sorts of opportunities, all sorts of opposition and criticism. Again, another reason why Nicodemus came at night was perhaps because he knew if he started to ask these questions openly, there'd be lots of arguments and discussions amongst the Jewish people. The heart of what Jesus says to Nicodemus is in verse 5. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised that I'm saying you must be born again." In other words, Jesus says there's a spiritual journey for every single person in this world to make. It's a journey which is like being born again. And it was great that we had this birthing pool here today as we've had our baptisms to remind us of that symbolism of our need to be born again. And a spiritual journey of coming into God's kingdom is a bit like a birth. It can involve lots of time. It can involve complications and risk and sometimes pain, severe pain along the way. But the result of being born again is a new quality of life. Just like life outside the womb is of a different quality to life inside the womb, so it is with our spiritual birth and spiritual journey. And that's why we're celebrating today as a church, because we've got people here this morning who've been going on that journey of being born again. And we've got a whole crowd of people coming tonight. There's about 9 people from St. John's being confirmed and 10 others from other local churches joining us to witness publicly to the fact that they've been born again. Well, John wrote his gospel to people in the first century because he wanted to explain to them how they could enter into this process of being born again. And he wanted others to come in, to believe in Jesus, and to experience that gift of eternal life, a life which was of a different quality and character, a life that was characterized by peace with God and peace with others. In our world today, we don't like to think of these boundaries of separation. And that's why I think that the bishop, Nazarelli, got into trouble in the eyes of some people that heard what he said, because he was very much talking about those who were Christians, those who were in the kingdom of God, and those who were outside. But Jesus wasn't wanting to exclude people. If we read this passage carefully, we see that the heart of God is to include everyone. Jesus, at his heart, is inclusive. Look at verse 16, which is the key text in this chapter. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God loved the world. He loved everyone. And that's the basis for our mission as Christians, to go out to the world. But it's also a reminder to the world of God's inclusive heart. He sent Jesus so that everyone could come into the kingdom. Jesus wanted Nicodemus into the kingdom as well. I think in our culture, in our history as a nation, we've often complicated the Christian faith and at times perhaps corrupted what's at the heart of the message. But this chapter brings us back to the basics, if you like, the personal invitation between Jesus and an individual, Jesus opening up that relationship with God to a human life. And that's what he's doing to us today here in this church, week after week. Jesus wants us to come into the kingdom, to believe in him, to be born again. I encourage you, if you've not had that spiritual experience, if you've not made that journey, take some time to investigate, to ask questions, and to enter into that process of receiving the new life of forgiveness and faith through Jesus Christ. But the story of Nicodemus is also a story for us as Christians. It reminds us that at the heart of our faith is this process of transformation and change for an individual, but also change on a wider scale. At the end of John's Gospel, if you turn to chapter 19, we meet Nicodemus again. Chapter 19, verse 39. And Nicodemus is there at the burial of Jesus. Jesus is brought down from the cross, and Nicodemus is doing an act of kindness to prepare Jesus' body for burial. And it seems to me that encounter with Jesus that happened right at the beginning, 3 years ago in the story, led to a process of change and transformation. And that's an encouragement for us as a church, as we seek to encourage individuals to enter into relationship with Jesus. May that process bring about change in our world, in our society. May God help us to impact these challenging situations we face on our streets. May God help us and encourage us to seek his transformation work of his kingdom in our world today. I'm going to close with verse 17 of chapter 3. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Amen.